It's time for Bob's No Egg Zone Boating Radio Show. From the bow to the stern, from port to starboard, and covering kayaks to cruise ships. Let's go down on the docks and join Captain Bob May for this week's show.
It's the last Saturday in June as we prepare ourselves for the very long 4th of July weekends that are coming up. I say that plurally because it looks like we're going to have some in advance and some after the fact. But anyway, good morning and welcome into the show. We have a busy 1 hour for you this morning. We've got Hannah Helsby on the Boat U.S. guest line talking to us this morning about Operation Dry Water, which is enforcement coming up next weekend starting on Friday the 30th. We'll have more from Hannah in just a little bit. In studio guest today, Dave Hotz, talking about electric shock drowning and the Down Alert PSD. We're also going to talk with Al Griffin, and we're going to start a series on Lake of the Ozarks history. And it's fascinating to learn the history of the lake and how it ties in with boating at the lake. And Al will talk first about the 30s and 40s of the development of Lake of the Ozarks. So we've got a busy show, plus some around the waterfront news for you this morning. You know, Captain Ron's is all abuzz because they're already open this morning. They open Saturdays and Sundays at 9 o'clock. And Monday through Friday open at 11. But they are the official waterfront restaurant bar of Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show this year. They're the home of the Shootout, of course, and what a great place to be and go and, just get over there because they got great stuff going on. They got a beach out front. They got lots of dock space. They've got some cabanas out there, good inside restaurant, nice screened-in porch as well. 34.5-mile marker on the main channel. Lake Road 550 Sunrise Beach, and you can look up more information at CaptainRonsAtTheLake.com. Now, entertainment-wise, tonight, it's I-70 Overdrive from 8 to midnight, and then on Monday, Sax on the Beach is going to be over there from 7 until 10. Don't forget, next weekend, Monday, July 3rd, they'll have fireworks at dark at Captain Ron's, and then we look ahead to August, which is basically Shootout Month. All kinds of activities starting over there with the August 9th Shootout Volunteer Party, and then all the activities falling in place after that. And, of course, the Shootout Racing will be August 26th and 27th. Again, Captain Ron's, home of the Shootout and the official restaurant bar of Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show. 34.5-mile marker, Lake Road 550 Sunrise Beach, just past the Hurricane Deck Bridge on Highway 5. Or you can look them up on the web for all the information, CaptainRonsAtTheLake.com. If you were born after January 1st, 1984, and would like to operate a motorized vessel in the state of Missouri, you will need a boating safety education class. And the Missouri State Highway Patrol Water Patrol Division has some classes coming up in our near area here, June 28th. And that would be, what, about next Wednesday, it looks like. There's a class at the Harry S. Truman Visitor Center at Warsaw on Truman Lake. From 9 to 3, there are some folks already signed up for that class. And then the following month, on July 26th, at the Harry S. Truman Visitor Center, there is also a class. They've got people signed up for that as well. You can call for more information, 816-622-0800, or better yet, just go on the Water Patrol website. Just do a search for Missouri Water Patrol, and you'll find the Boating Safety Education class information. Well, last weekend, if you were at Lake of the Ozarks, you heard all the rumbling and the roaring and the fast boats going up the lake. Well, that was Performance Boat Center's annual Cigarette Owners Rendezvous. And the third year in a row for this event, very successful, I would say, with an increase in the number of registered boats. Last year they had 66, I believe, was the number. This year 78 participated, maybe a few more that didn't actually register. But, boy, they sure looked great and they sounded great. They ran all the way up from the folks there at Performance Boat Center, about the 21 or so, all the way up to Coconuts, and then back a little bit to the Camden-on-the-Lake H-Toes location, and then finished up the day back at Performance Boat Center, had a nice dinner, and everybody got to see each other. But boy, what beautiful boats they are, those Cigarettes, and thanks to the Performance Boat Center for putting on the third annual Cigarette Owners Rendezvous at Lake of the Ozarks. You know, the HP Extreme is the most awarded PWC port in the industry. Hydrohoist Marine Group continues to receive accolades for its newest product, the HP Extreme. Now, they're piled up in front of Joanne Clark's office, but I asked her the other day, gee, you've got a lot of those out there. And she said, yeah, those are already sold. So they've been getting lots of orders for these all over the country and, of course, nationwide as well. And then, of course, in the overseas markets as well, they're really catching on to these. The CEO, Mick Weber, said that the HP Extreme is the easiest load and launch of any PWC docking platform on the market, with features unmatched by any of the boat lift industry, any of them. So they've won a couple of awards, the 2017 Top Product of the Year Award by Boating Industry and the Innovation Award from the Marine Recreation Association. Find out more by going to boatlift.com. You can also get in touch with Joanne Clark. Let me get you her contact information. Email is jclark@boatlift.com. Telephone number, and she will return your call. Even if you call her over the weekend, she might not get back to you Monday or so, but she will call you back. 573-346-7505. And if you'd like more information about international locations, Canada, Denmark, Sweden, Finland, New Zealand, Australia, the Middle East, get a hold of Cale Grauer, and his email is Cale, C-A-L-E, at boatlift.com. Well, a big thank you from the National Safe Boating Council for everyone that participated in the Wear Your Life Jacket to Work Day. Also, the Ready, Set, Wear It event, the Life Jacket World Record Day, and lots participated. So let's remember to wear our life jackets. Now that we've gone through all this National Safe Boating Week stuff, this is back in May, of course, but still a good time to remind you to wear a life jacket. Now, Captain Michael Turner, commanding officer of Troop F, Jefferson City, reminds boaters about the proper use of navigation lights while on the water. And you may have already heard this, but troopers on the Ozarks, Lake of the Ozarks, reported several encounters with vessels failing to properly display navigation lights on Memorial Day weekend and past. Now, this is dangerous, particularly when it gets real dark. Preliminary statistics indicate the troopers issued 12 citations and 84 warnings to boaters for navigation lights burned out, displaying lights other than prescribed on a watercraft, or not displaying navigation lights properly. The required navigation lights differ depending on the size and type of your boat. State law requires boat operators to display the required navigation lights between sunset and sunrise. Now, generally speaking, vessels are required to display the red light on the port side, that's your left side, green light on the starboard side or your right, and then, of course, have that all-around visible light. They all have to be seen. That one has to be seen at least 2 miles. The side markers at least 1 mile on clear nights. And, of course, with the various combinations of lights that meet those state laws and those federal laws, navigation lights are an imperative on the water at night to prevent boating accidents. And a reminder, the Missouri state speed limit at night on lakes is 30 miles per hour, effective 30 minutes after sunset to 1 hour before sunrise. That includes all you fisher guys out there as well that take off real early in the mornings. Also from the Highway Patrol, Water Patrol Division, revised navigation restrictions will be put in place during the Lake of the Ozarks Shootout Regatta event coming up the end of August. And there's been a lot of conversation about that here this past week or so once they announced this. Well, due to the number of spectator vessels expected at the event, particularly on Saturday, the no-wake restriction has been extended. The extended no-wake area will be in effect from 2 until 5:30 p.m., and will include the main channel from the 31.5 downstream to approximately the 24-mile marker. That's right along past Paradise and past Tantera there. And the extension of the no-wake restriction area is a result of a public information hearing held back in January. I was there. The patrol's Water Patrol Division hosted the meeting in the lake area and solicited input from the lake area community regarding potential changes associated with the event. So that announcement was made this past week, and again, it is for restrictions on Saturday only, August 26th, as you leave. Some people are saying, well, I'll just go across over to this restaurant or that restaurant, and we'll just hang out for a while until after 5:30, and that's good. It's a good way to do it, or just hang out there on the line and enjoy the rest of the afternoon before you head out. So again, that restriction is going to be from 2 until 5:30 on Saturday, August 26th, as you leave the shootout location heading downstream toward the dam.
Dock your boat at Captain Ron's and come on in for a great meal. This is Nicole, and we're the official waterfront restaurant bar of Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show. Thanks for listening this morning.
You know, I meet people all the time who are Boat U.S. members, and it's great to have that camaraderie, if you will. But if you're not a member, I would encourage you to take a look at the Boat Owners Association of the United States and also take a look at the towboat package. Our towboat operators here at Lake of the Ozarks, Captain Charlie Meyer, Captain Dave Anderson, do a great job of taking care of you if you have a problem out on the water. Could be a towing situation, battery jump, soft ungrounding, or a fuel delivery. They'll take care of you if you have a problem. So get in touch with them. You can call them at 573-216-4701. Or when you get on the web, go to my website, bobsnowakezone.com. You can see both logos there, Boat U.S. and Towboat U.S. We're going to talk about Operation Drywater next. Hannah Helmsby is on the Boat U.S. guest line. She'll be next up on Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show right here on News Talk KRMS. 1150 AM, 97.5, 104.9, and live streaming audio, too. Be right back. Don't go away.
I'm John Herlig. In Postcards from Sea, I tell stories of my travels aboard Ave Del Mar, my 1967 Rawson cutter. I deal with serious nautical issues like how to sail your mast into a tree on a canal, what kind of incense best covers the aroma of kimchi fermenting on your boat, or whether or not I can beat a leukemia patient at a video game. It's simply the story of my life, and my life happens to take place on a 50-year-old sailboat with no particular destination in mind. I hope you'll join me and some of the wonderful characters I meet as I travel for my show, Postcards from Sea, every other Monday here on Boat Radio.
Time goes forward, go and catch your jet, you will find your moment. Time goes forward, stay and have a sniff, let's dream about the future.
Coming up on Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show, we're going to talk electric shock drowning and how to prevent it with Dave Hotz from the Dock Lifeguard. Coming up next, though, Operation Drywater with details, Hannah Helsby from NASBLAH. The world's finest brands you'll find at MarineMax.com. Here's a quote from founder of Sea Ray Boats, C.N. Ray. He says, "The bitterness of poor quality remains long after the sweetness of the low price is forgotten." Check out the Sea Rays, all sizes, right there at Marine Max. They have two locations here at the lake. You'll also find them. They'll have the Harris float boats, Boston Whalers, and the Nautique ski boats as well. Always open, MarineMax.com, where you'll find them in two locations here. We've got the 3070 Bagnell Dam Boulevard location, which is the marina location. It's where they have the brokerage boats as well, but you'll also find them at the 16.5-mile marker. MarineMax Osage Beach, right across from the entrance to that outlet mall, you'll find them there as well. MarineMax.com for more information.
Well, on the road or on the water, you're headed nowhere fast if you are impaired. Especially on this coming weekend, June 30th through July 2nd, Operation Drywater will be underway around the country. And to talk about it with us is the Communications Director for the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators, Hannah Helsby. Good morning and nice to have you back on the show, Hannah.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you for having me.
Well, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit first. We're going to cover Operation Drywater, but I'd like to let our listeners kind of be informed about what the NASBLAH organization is all about.
Right. We do. We go by NASBLAH for short. As you mentioned, it's the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators. And we're a national nonprofit, and we represent the recreational boating authorities in all 56 states and territories. So our mission is to support and strengthen the state's ability to do what all of us in the recreational boating safety community are trying to do, which is reduce number of deaths and injuries related to recreational boating and help ensure that recreational boaters have a chance to be out on the water and have a safe and secure, fun time doing so.
You know, the 4th of July this year is going to be on a Tuesday, so I'm thinking that we're probably going to have maybe two weekends of the 4th of July, one prior and then maybe one after. Some folks maybe plan on, you know, coming to the water maybe on the 4th and then staying through that next weekend. So, but the Operation Dry Water itself is really just centered on those two or three, 4 days just prior to the 4th of July. Let's talk just a little bit about what Operation Dry Water is and sort of how it's implemented across the country.
Sure. So Operation Dry Water is a year-round boating under the influence and awareness campaign. So year-round, we work with law enforcement, the states, the Coast Guard, and Boating Safety Act activists to raise awareness about boating under the influence, the dangers that are implied and come with choosing to drink alcohol while boating or the use of illegal or legal drugs while boating. That's definitely something that we've started looking at, as well as legalization of marijuana and other things are kind of coming onto the national scene. We have the Operation Dry Water 3-day weekend, and this will be our 9th year of doing so. And that is a 3-day weekend of heightened awareness and enforcement of boating under the influence laws. So we partner with local, state, and federal law enforcement to saturate the country and all the different states and territories and get all law enforcement out there on the water to talk to boaters, educate boaters, and to definitely remove impaired operators from the waterways and keep everybody safe out there. A weekend that is extremely popular in boating, and also a weekend that we unfortunately see a lot of boating accidents and deaths.
Well, the 4th of July is going to have to work awful hard to beat the number of boaters that were out on Memorial Day weekend. I know here at our area it was extraordinary. And of course, everybody was trying to behave and do, you know, the right things as far as navigation is concerned and the rules of the road. But, boy, we still had some incidents out on the water. Now, when you say Operation Dry Water and it is increased enforcement, do you hear or see any specific things that law enforcement, are they going to do, like, you know, stopping every boat that goes through a particular area, or are they going to just kind of randomly select people? Do you know what they all do?
We work with so many different sizes of agencies. We work from everything from your local agency, local sheriff's office. Sometimes they only have just a couple of officers who are in a Marine unit to work that weekend, and they're working, you know, their regularly scheduled patrols because they don't have the resources to do a big saturation patrol. And then everything up to the larger states like Texas and Florida with hundreds of officers, and they really work to get as many of their officers as they can afford out on the water. You know, they'll be at boat ramps, they'll be out on the water talking to boaters, educating boaters. Lots of people will have educational materials or even maybe some fun materials, you know, to give to kids or people they see wearing life jackets or who have a sober operator and passengers on board, you know, maybe some little swag items to help positively influence that. But as well, they will, you know, do some boater checks, some vessel checks, making sure you've got the required equipment, just making sure you have a sober operator and hopefully just sober passengers as well.
You know, Captain Matt Walls with our Missouri State Highway Patrol Water mm-hmm. Patrol Division, they've been doing this T-shirt thing with kids. And, you know, the T-shirt says something like, you know, I got caught wearing my life jacket. And they get a T-shirt if they're wearing their life jacket when they're on the boat. So like I say, there's a wide, varied things that people will do in those different states. Now, life jackets save lives. I mean, there is no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
Statistics say that more than 80% of boaters who drowned were not wearing a life jacket. Unfortunately, we had one here just in the last couple of weeks that fell off a boat, did not have a life jacket on, and died. They finally recovered the body. But life jackets are very important. But now you can find life jackets that have some style on them now, too.
Absolutely. There's a wide range of types of life jackets out there that folks can wear, everything from a belt pack type to, you know, the more, you know, the ones you see in the graphics that are big and bulky, and then they have them that are specific to different sports, different recreational activities. So it's good for you to do your research a little bit on if you're doing, based on the activity that you're doing, of what life jacket to get. And you can find that information online or, you know, at your, like, outdoor retailer. It's good to obviously have at least one on board for every passenger. The latest Coast Guard statistics just came out, I think at the end of May. Over 80% of the people who drowned weren't wearing a life jacket, and that's just a choice that we're hoping to change the perception of folks, along with the choice of drinking and boating as well, that you know, it doesn't take much to put on a life jacket and to choose not to drink on the water.
Wait till you partake, till you get back to the dock is a good thing. Also, you've had some information come out recently about just some summer boating safety tips. One of those courses, get a vessel check, and I know that around the country, the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, the water patrols in your area, the power squadrons will do those for you at no charge. Use your engine cutoff device. I know there's some states that are now trying to pass some legislation to require this, but, you know, this is pretty simple to do. It's a really handy thing that, you know, if something happens to you, it's going to kill the motor real quick. And then checking the weather, of course, is a very big deal as well. Boating education courses, you could take one of those online this week or this weekend. Just, you know, refresh yourself, couldn't you?
Yes, absolutely. Boating education courses, you can find that information on our website at NASBLA.org, but your state will each state has their own boating safety education course that you can take. Lots of these courses are online if you prefer that way. They also have in-person courses depending on what your learning style is and how much time you've got available. But again, in the recent statistics that the Coast Guard released, only 13% of the deaths that occurred on vessels where the operator had received a nationally approved boating safety education certificate. The majority of deaths occurred where they had not received an education on how to operate their boat. And that goes back to more people have less experience on a boat than you do driving a car. So taking a boating safety education course really gets you that base knowledge of what to expect and what you need to know to be out there on the water. So we highly encourage everybody on the water to take those education courses. And many states have some requirement on there as well. So it's likely that you may have to get one of those to partake or to rent things like boats and PWCs. So those are an absolutely perfect option for everybody that's going to go out on the water.
Absolutely. There's a really good website if you're going to be renting a boat anytime this summer. Rentalboatsafety.com is a good one. Of course, operationdrywater.org is the website. And the lead in here to the show was on the road or on the water, you're headed nowhere fast while impaired. But actually, if you get caught, you are going to be headed somewhere fast and it's jail. So, and they'll impound your boat, and it gets downhill from there. So, Hannah Helsby, thank you so much again from NASBLA talking to us about Operation Drywater, and let's hope and pray for a great, safe summer out there on the water.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Bob.
Good stuff, Hannah. Thank you so much. Hannah Helsby, the Communications Director with NASBLA. Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show on a Saturday morning here on News Talk KRMS. Time for a break. You're listening to us on 1150 AM, 97.5, 104.9, and live streaming audio.
Bonnie Lass Charters is Mallorca's number one experience.
Bonnie Lass is a 57-foot converted fishing boat. She was built in 1949 as a herring ring netter in Scotland, and now she's set up for the Mediterranean. Apart from just relaxing in the sunshine on the deck, there's paddleboarding and any kind of exploring you can imagine up along the north coast of Mallorca here, quite often with Maggie the dog in tow as well. Bonnie Lass Charters is unique because no charter is really the same. We work really hard to make it the perfect day for each individual client. To be able to go out and enjoy the day with the guests on board is just fantastic.
For more information and to make a booking, visit bonnielasscharters.com.
Welcome back to Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show here on a Saturday morning on News Talk KRMS. Did you know the various sources of electricity can leak out and get into around your dock? We're going to talk to Dave Hotz in just a moment about electric shock drowning and his device called the Dock Lifeguard.
But first, you know, there's a pirate ship called Calypso, and it's cruising the waters of Lake of the Ozarks, primarily in the Gravois arm of the lake. Captain Tim Woodson converted the historic U.S. Navy troop transport vessel, originally commissioned to the John F. Kennedy aircraft carrier from 1995 to 2007. It was converted into the pirate ship you see today, Calypso. It's quite a vessel. It is United States Coast Guard inspected, and of course they've got a licensed U.S. Coast Guard Captain Tyler on board to operate the boat. 44 passenger limit, and we want to talk to you about the very special pirate treasure hunt excursion. Kids love this, and you will too. I'm going to offer you $3 off each ticket for one of the pirate cruises. And what you need to do is go to their website. It's jollycharters.com. And as you're going down through the order process, you can pick your dates and so on and so forth. But on the Pirate Treasure Hunt Excursion, enter the promo code NOWAKEZONE, and they'll discount $3 off each ticket for you aboard the Calypso cruise ship. These ships fill up quite rapidly, the different trips, so go on the website. You'll find all of the information there. Again, that's jollycharters.com. Don't forget to use the promo code NOWAKEZONE.
Down on the boat docks, Bob's down on the boat docks. Let's all find out what's going down on the boat docks.
Hey, I might be down on the boat dock, but I'm not going to put my feet in the water until I'm sure that there is no electricity in or around the boat dock, and you should be the same. Dave Hotz recently appeared on the KB Morning Show here on News Talk KRMS. And the first question that was asked was, how did you come up with the idea for the dock lifeguard?
Well, about 5 years ago, when we had the three deaths within 1 week, my background is computer engineering, and I thought, boy, I have enough knowledge here. I bet you we can create a device that will actually detect electricity on the dock and the water around the dock. So I contacted my buddy John at First Mate, who has a double E degree, and we put our heads together. We came up with the dock lifeguard, and mm-hmm. It does exactly that. It detects if there's electricity on your dock frame, the wiring coming down in your dock, and the water around your dock.
Yeah, next question for you, Dave. Some testing had to be done, of course, in order to make certain that this new device was going to work properly.
Well, we first started out in a swimming pool, and then we moved to a farm, little pond, and then we moved to the lake. And as the bodies of water got larger, it became more difficult to challenge to do it. But after we came up with a solution, then we went to a testing method of we actually will go in and inject electricity into the water using an inverter and a 12-volt battery, and actually we can test our product and see how far out the range it'll go. Electricity will travel further when there's more metal energized. To give you an example, if you took a fine piece of wire and put it in the water, it would maybe only go 2 or 3 inches. Mm-hmm. But now you take that little piece of wire and touch the ramp with it that's submerged in the water, now that can go hundreds of yards.
So, Dave, various sources of electricity can cause the dock lifeguard to activate, and it might not be something coming from your dock. It might be from a neighbor's dock or a boat or various areas where that electricity can get to your dock.
Since we've been doing this for such a long time, we've been keeping track of records of what caused electricity. When we first developed the product, it was the guy would bring our unit in and says, your unit's defective. It's not working. Well, we would go out to their dock and actually find the source of electricity. Our units do work. It does detect stray electricity. And there's some very unique situations we've detected out there. In one case, it was the heat pump from a house 2 doors down. Every time the heat pump turned on, the guy's dock lifeguard went off. And what it was improper grounding in the house. It was feeding electricity, the stray electricity, back on the safety ground to the dock and over to the neighbor's dock 2 doors away.
Well, Dave, many folks that have a second home here at the lake and might not be here all the time, what about leaving the house and turning off the power to your dock? Is that such a good idea or not?
We had one report where the guy's dock was getting electrified. The reason was that they were sharing the same I-bolt for their support cable. Hmm. It was coming through the I-bolt and coming back to their dock. Now, another thing I'd like to discuss is a lot of people say, well, what I do when I leave the lake, I kill the power to my dock. Mm-hmm. It makes it safe. Yes and no. But remember that safety ground that's still connected. You kill the power to your dock, that stops your electricity from getting out. But it doesn't stop electricity coming in on your dock. And so it's very important then that you still monitor your dock, because your dock may be electrified by the transformer. And another thing that concerns me when people, when they say, I turn off my electricity when I leave. Well, first thing I ask them, when you come back to the lake, what's the first thing you do? Do you go out to the shore, look around, and make sure nobody's swimming around before you turn that breaker on? Or do you just go in the house and turn the breaker on?
Sure.
So if you do that, look out around, make sure no one's swimming around your dock before you turn your breaker on.
Dave Hott's appearance on the KB Morning Show here on News Talk KRMS. Electricity cannot be seen or heard. Every time someone jumps in the water, it's a leap of faith. So find out more about the Dock Lifeguard for your dock. And you can find more information at docklifeguard.com, or you can give them a call at their office, 573-434-6453. And to sort of put a little exclamation point on this, a Dublin teen dies after being shocked by electric current in Put-In Bay in Ohio. Teenager died last Friday after being shocked by electric current from his family's boat in Put-In Bay. According to the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, 19-year-old Evan Curry of Dublin was near his family boat around 6:30 at Miller's Marina when the incident occurred. The Currys had parked their 33-foot boat and plugged it into shore power. The family dog reportedly fell into the water and began to struggle. The father jumped into the water to save the dog and was also struggling. And then Evan and his brother then entered the water to help. The mother stayed on board the boat, and bystanders told her to unplug the shore power. By that time, it was too late. The 19-year-old lost his life. Other safety device for you if you're going to be out towing someone. How about checking out this brand new device called the Down Alert PSD. That's personal safety device. And this thing is just an armband that you wear on one arm. If you're going to be out tubing or skiing or wakeboarding, you leave it on your arm. And if you fall off and you're in the water, you basically take this orange bag out. It's kind of a glove, if you will. And it goes over your hand. It's got a diamond-shaped reflector on each side. You hold it up in the air. And it can be seen more readily by passing boats, particularly behind you, maybe on the sides of you, and in the wakes, you might not be seen too well just floating around in the water. Go on to downalertpsd.com. You'll find a link on my website as well. Go to bobsnowakezone.com. Either way, you get a $10 discount for Bob's No Wake Zone listeners for each of the devices that you purchase. And if you buy three or more, they'll ship it free to you. Price now is $29.99 plus that $10 discount. That makes it $19.99 each. And we appreciate you making an order and using these because they'll give you that little extra safety protection. I know you use the orange flag when somebody goes down the water, but this is an extra protection for that individual to be seen when they're in the water. So order as many as you need. They come in different sizes for different people. So you can get them small, medium, large, or extra large, and child sizes as well. $10 off. All you got to do is enter that promo code, No Wake Zone, and you'll get a $10 discount. It's only a short time offer, a couple of weeks or so, and they'll go back to regular price. You buy three or more, you get them, and get free shipping on them. Again, downalertpsd.com, or go to my website, bobsnowakezone.com, and click the link and the logo.
What is electric shock drowning? It happens when electricity leaks into the water and someone swims into that energized water. Help keep your summer fun safe. Avoid swimming near docks with electrical equipment or boats plugged into shore power. When in the water, remember, if you feel a shock, swim away from the dock. Do not head to boat or dock ladders. Head to shore if you can. Learn more at safeelectricity.org.
Are you courteous with your boat wake? This is Captain Matt Walls with the Water Patrol Division. That is a question boaters need to ask themselves, especially when operating a vessel capable of creating a large wake. In ideal conditions, boats should operate at idle speed, or when you can safely do so, on plane. For most boats, plowing is that transitional speed between idle and on plane when a boat creates an excessive wake. Continuous plowing should be avoided, particularly near docks and in coves. Please join the Highway Patrol in making our roadways and waterways safe.
A licensed captain is concerned about safety, is insured, is skilled. U.S. Coast Guard licensed captains are screened by the FBI, Homeland Security, local law enforcement. They are drug tested on a regular scheduled basis. And licensed captains must have a minimum of 360 days of sea time, averaging of 4 hours per day. They know what safety equipment is needed on board, what to do in an emergency, and how to take care of things if something goes wrong. What this means to you and your family and friends is you'll have a fun, safe time on the water at Lake of the Ozarks. To find a higher captain, you can do that by going to lotocaptain.com. Like the Ozarks Captains Association. You'll find them on Facebook as well. This is Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show on a Saturday morning. We are here every Saturday from 10 until 11. We start right after the news at 10 o'clock here on News Talk KRMS, 1150 AM, 97.5 FM, 104.9 FM, and we also have that live streaming audio feed for you at krmsradio.com. We will be right back. Don't go away.
My name is Matt Rutherford. I am the only person in history to have circumnavigated the Americas nonstop. I've sailed alone across the Atlantic twice. I've crossed the Pacific. I've sailed through the Bering Sea and around Cape Horn. I understand the challenges you will face trying to accomplish your blue water dreams. And I know how important it is to have the right boat. Whether buying a blue water boat or selling your blue water boat, Rogue Wave Yacht Sales has the experience to make that happen. Email me at matt@roguewaveyachtsales.com.
Our aim at Street Invest is to put a trustworthy adult into the lives of street children so that they can support them in creating the most positive paths for their lives in the future. We work around the world, working on the street with the children where they are. For such a large group of children, the amount of funding available is tiny. Really, the funding that keeps organisations like Street Invest going comes from individual donors. Street children are the most abused, neglected, violated children, yet they are also the most resourceful, responsive, and resilient children that we could have the honour of working with.
For more information or to make a donation, visit streetinvest.org.
The required safety equipment on your boat or rental is something that a U.S. Coast Guard licensed captain takes seriously for the safety of all on board. This is Captain Doug Beck, a member of the Lake Ozarks Captain Association. Hire a licensed U.S. Coast Guard captain to drive your boat or rental if you plan to partake in adult beverages. Professional captains have training and have been drug tested, checked out by Homeland Security, with background checks and have their requirements for sea time to maintain their credentials. To find a captain, visit lotocaptain.com and relax and enjoy your stay.
So who do you think was the first boat racer on Lake of the Ozarks? We're going to find out as we do a little Lake of the Ozarks history with Al Griffin from OurEyesUponMissouri.com. Al will be with us to talk about the 30s and 40s and the development of Lake of the Ozarks for us. Coming up in just a moment, but first I want to tell you about renting a boat for any of the coming days or weekends. The boat rental gurus are Iguana Water Sports, and they've got three locations around the lake. North Side, 5.5 mile marker, Rocky Mount. You can also find them at the Glaze Bridge location there at the Topsider, and their headquarters down on the Bagnell Dam Strip. The reservation number is 888-365-2399. That's 888-365-2399. You can also go online and book it. IguanaWatersports.com. Iguana is I-G-U-A-N-A. IguanaWatersports.com. They'll take care of you. They've got all kinds of different boats available, including PWCs and paddle boats. They've got speed boats and party boats, tri-tunes, of course, and all the accessories so you can have a good day or so on the water. Get in touch with them. IguanaWatersports.com. So we've had a few weeks on the lake, and maybe your boat has already been punished a little bit and you've got some problems. Maybe your bimini is all torn up, or maybe you're thinking, yeah, I need to get the interior restored just a little bit. Maybe get a couple of seats redone, get them color matched. I'm going to direct you to Paradise Upholstery and Canvas. Now, don't be in a hurry because these guys are very busy right now this time of year, but they'll get to you. Contact them by going to their website, paradiseupholstery.com. You'll also find a link on my website, bobsnowakezone.com. You can just click that and it'll take you right in. They've also got some YouTube videos showing some of the kind of work that they do. email them at info@paradiseupholstery.com, and they'll make arrangements to come take a look at what you have, and then they'll give you a timetable for getting the work done. Paradise Upholstery and Canvas Sand Carpet, paradiseupholstery.com or info@paradiseupholstery.com.
Well, this morning we're going to start a series about the history of the Lake of the Ozarks via the history of boating at the Lake of the Ozarks. And to talk more about it and the research guy that's done all this, Al Griffin is here. And a good morning to you, Al. It's nice to have you on the show.
Good morning to you, Bob.
Let's first talk a little bit about you and Connie's publication, the blog, OurEyesUponMissouri.com. Tell
Correct.
Us a little bit about
Our
that.
OurEyesUponMissouri.com. Modern parlance, it's called a lifestyle blog. We write about bars and restaurants because people love to read about beer and food. But we write about, we celebrate the story of entrepreneurs, mom-and-pop restaurants, one-off businesses around central Missouri. And through writing those stories and taking pictures, I'm a photographer and some writer, and Connie's a writer. Through our efforts, I became aware of the rich history of the Lake of the Ozark, and we moved here in 2012, so it was all new to us. And as we looked for a name, we thought, well, we're looking at this with fresh eyes. So OurEyesUponMissouri.com is the blog.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the history. Now, you've got these sort of broken down in decades, so we're going to start with the 30s and 40s for this show, and then we'll carry on later with some additional shows. So let's talk a little bit about the 30s.
The 30s was pretty miserable. The Great Depression, as our parents told us over and over. As the country sunk into poverty and despair in the Great Depression, the building of the Bagnell Dam, the Union Electric's power plant lake, insulated this region of the nation through good wages and really abundant employment. There was thousands and thousands of men building the dam, which became our lake. And that prosperity on a regional basis drew workers that were unemployed around the rest of the world or the rest of the country. And good wages provided money for food and clothing and housing in this region. So we were insulated by the construction project itself. The lake was began in 29. The dam created and reached full pool in 1931. The Lake of the Ozark Association in 1934 listed 57 resorts and lodges around the lake. And these were hunting and fishing locations primarily. Over half of those offered rental boats with little outboards or rowboats for fishermen. That was a big deal. The great significance of that was that this became an economic engine that would power later decades through tourism and leisure money spending. One of the greatest speedboats of the era of the 20s and 30s was built by Gar Wood. This was the era of wooden runabouts. 2 and 3 cockpit boats were coming into being. The moneyed elite from Detroit and the St. Lawrence River and the East Coast were racing their ferry boats. It was prestigious if you were on a ferry boat to have the fastest one. That grew into their personal runabout racing. And Gar Wood wanted to own the world speed records. He didn't ever want to build boats. He wanted to be the fastest man on the water, which he was through innovative hull design. He was a brilliant designer and engineer. The racing association in charge of those type races changed the rules so that he would not dominate the sport. And the parallel today is we just saw the race course change at the shootout,
right,
down to 3/4 of a mile. The innovators, those racers, will bring the speed back up. I have no doubt that through hull design and power application, innovation, that speeds will come right back up. It was a nice thing to do from a safety standpoint at this time, but racers are innovators, and they'll bring it back up.
Well, on to the 40s, I guess. Do we start going down the list of important things that sort of made some changes for
our lake? The things that came up in the 40s, the wartime production industry learned new techniques. As we geared up for the war in early 40s, American manufacturers had to create more items faster for the war effort, and they were learning new ways to produce those, primarily from an industrial era that was one-off craftsmanship and handmade quality. Henry Ford moved us into production line facilities, but we learned a lot during the war. There was a lot of manufacturing jobs for the returning soldiers. The women moved into the manufacturing era during the war when the men were gone. But when the men came back, there was a lot of new manufacturing jobs, a lot of money for those workers. The GI Bill created housing construction, and there was a lot of carpentry jobs. The GI Bill also sent a lot of soldiers to college, so there was improved education opportunities and employment opportunities. Discretionary money in 1917, according to government research figures, was around 6% for a household. By the 1950s, that had grown to 11% and almost double in discretionary funds. Mm-hmm. The money not required to buy groceries and put a roof over your head allowed us for more leisure spending. Boat builders produced landing craft for the war effort, and what they learned about building boats faster and better and cheaper moved right into the private sector and fueled the leisure boat industry, recreational boating industry. After the war, boat builders saw weight and speed advantages in the aluminum. The significance was that the American workers' wage increased and their leisure time increased, while the Lake of the Ozarks was a growing recreational lake, the biggest in the nation man-made at the time. An increase in wage and leisure time paired up with the increase in vacation and leisure opportunities here at the lake.
You know, you talk about aluminum, you know, in the 40s, that was what they were trying to innovate and bring into
it
recreational boating.
Brand new, yeah.
And now look what we have. We have the aluminum tritunes and pontoons, which are almost outselling everything else on the marketplace. So
exactly.
The 40s is now into the 21st century of that technology that they were developing then. That's fascinating.
Everything old is new again, as someone once said. One of the things that grew out of the 40s, the state park system in Missouri is a real crown jewel. And one of the largest state parks was commissioned in 1946, Lake of the Ozarks State Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's got over 17,000 acres in it currently and draws a huge number of tourists to this area, as well as some of the other things we've got, like Hahataka and the state parks around. But that was a biggie in 1940s when it was commissioned.
All right. Boy, lots of great information about how the Lake of the Ozarks grew and changed, and the boating aspect as well. The blog is OurEyesUponMissouri.com. Our guest, Al Griffin. Al, thank you so much. We'll have you back again next week. We'll talk about the 50s and the 60s.
Thank you, and I look forward to it, Bob.
Thank you, Al Griffin. We do appreciate it. Thanks to Dave Hotz talking to us about ESD and Hannah Helsby from NASBLA. Thank you for listening this week. We appreciate it. We'll be back next Saturday, same time, same boat channel right here on News Talk KRMS Osage Beach. Have a good weekend.